And we wish each of you, hello, there we go. And we would like to welcome you, and remember the cards in the front, please fill those out, and they'll be picked up sometime after the scripture reading, so by our usher and elder. Thank you. Please welcome one another now with a handshake of warmth and welcome. Good to see you guys. How are you doing?
Oh, doing very well, doing very well.
Good, good. Well, I'm glad to hear that.
Good, except being old and
crazy. Good morning, John. Good morning, Gene.
The neck hurts, the hip hurts, but other than that, we're doing
great. Oh, he reached across, I'm sorry.
Oh, no.
Next week, we're going to sit in the back.
Okay.
Just because all these people sit in the back, and we're going to see what happens. Nothing will happen.
Maybe I should sit back there, too. Morning, Nancy.
Good.
How are you doing?
Good. How are you?
Please remain standing. We make our beginning this morning in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching him in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and you forgave the iniquity of my sin. O Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities with which I have ever offended you and justly deserve your temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them and sincerely repent of them. And I pray you of your boundless mercy and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor, sinful being. Upon this your confession, I by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you, and in the stead and by the command of my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. The Lord be with you. Let us pray together. Almighty and ever-living God, you have given exceedingly great precious promises to those who trust in you. Grant us so firmly to believe in your Son, Jesus, that our faith may never be found wanting. Through the same Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated.
Reading for the 25th Sunday after Pentecost is from 1 Kings chapter 17. Then the word of the Lord came to Elijah, "Arise and go to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon. Behold, I have commanded a widow there to feed you." So he arose and went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gate of the city, behold, a widow was there gathering sticks. And he called to her and said, "Bring me a little water in a vessel that I may drink." And as she was going to bring it, he called to her and said, "Bring me a morsel of bread in your hand." And she said, "As the Lord your God lives, I have nothing baked, only a handful of flour in a jar and a little oil in a jug. And now I am gathering a couple of sticks that I may go in and prepare it for myself and my son, that we may eat it and die." And Elijah said to her, "Do not fear. Go and do as you have said. But first, make me a little cake of it and bring it to me, and afterward, make something for yourself and your son. For thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, the jar of flour shall not be spent, and the jug of water shall not be empty, until the day the Lord sends rain upon the earth." And she went and did as Elijah said, and she and he and her household ate for many days. The jar of flour was not spent, neither did the jug of oil become empty, according to the word of the Lord that he spoke by Elijah. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle is from Hebrews chapter 9. For Christ has entered not into holy places made with hands, which are copies of the true things, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God on our behalf. Nor was it to offer him repeatedly, as the high priest enters the holy places every year with blood not his own, for then he would have had to suffer repeatedly since the foundation of the world. But as it is, he has appeared once for all at the end of the ages to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And just as it has been appointed for man to die once, and after that comes judgment, so Christ, having been offered once to bear the sins of many, will appear a second time, not to deal with sin, but to save those who are eagerly waiting for him. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. The Holy Gospel for this day is recorded in the book of St. Mark, the 12th chapter. In his teaching, Jesus said, "Beware of the scribes who like to walk around in long robes and like greetings in the marketplaces and have the best seats in the synagogues and the place of honor at the feasts, who devour widows' houses and for a pretense make long prayers. They will receive the greater condemnation." And he sat down opposite the treasury and watched the people putting money into the offering box. Many rich people put in large sums. And a poor widow came and put in two small copper coins, which make a penny. And he called his disciples to him and said to them, "Truly I say to you, this poor widow has put in more than all those who are contributing to the offering box, for they all contributed out of their abundance, but she, out of her poverty, has put in everything she had, all she had to live on. This is the gospel of the Lord. You may be seated. Our text for this message today is from Hebrews chapter 9, verses 24 to 28. It is the epistle lesson for today, and if we could go there, that would be wonderful. For Christ did not enter a holy place made with hands, a mere copy of the true one, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. So far the words of our text. Our friends in Christ. In the Old Testament, we recall that, and when we hear of the tabernacle of the Lord, perhaps some of you have done a little bit of a study on that, and you would really find that it's a very large tent. Specifically, it was there to house God. It was a symbol and a sign to the Israelites that God was with them. He was also with them a pillar of whirlwind, if you will, and a pillar of fire by night. The tabernacle was God's house, or in the Old Testament, Yahweh or Jehovah, as some would like to translate that. God's presence was there in that place. He was with his people, dwelling amongst them. This tabernacle was 45 feet long, almost a football half-yard line, if you will, the 50-yard line, and that would be where you would start to see that the children of Israel would have 45 feet long in this tabernacle and a 15-foot wide berth, if you will, going across, and the wooden beams would be golden plated that would go through rings that these poles would connect to one another and thus hold up the walls and the ceiling of the tent. This holy place contained then 30 feet long by 15 feet wide by 15 feet tall, and the Holy of Holies was where the Ark of the Covenant was contained. And the Ark of the Covenant was the very presence of God, and that was the sign and the seal of the people of God between God and the Israelites. And as a result, when we start to see this, we would realize that the high priest could only go into this Holy of Holies one time a year. He would bring first a sacrifice for his sins, placing it upon the altar of God, and therefore his sins would be forgiven so that he could stand in the presence of the Holy One. We then see the Holy High Priest coming back out, accepting another sacrifice, and this one he took back to the altar of God, and there it would be blessed, and the people of God would be forgiven. If you look in the book of Hebrews in another place in chapter 9 and 10, you would start to see that the high priest would come out. He would come out with having presented the altar with a bowl or a basin of blood And he would take a hyssop branch and he would dip it in this bowl, this basin, and he'd come out. And in the Hebrew, it would, or in Greek, it would say, in the book of Hebrews, it would say, he baptized them. He would sprinkle them with the blood. And so when we start to see that, we understand that the blood of Christ, the blood of this sacrifice, was being placed upon the people of God. It's interesting to note that that's what those who were calling for the crucifixion of Christ also said. They said, let his blood be upon us. To which we pray, let it also be upon us. Because when we start to understand it, our text tells us that Christ did not enter a holy place made with hands, like the one we've just described, but rather a mere which was a mere copy of the true one. But no, Christ entered the one into heaven itself to appear in the presence of God for us on our behalf. Jesus is the tabernacle, the Word who became flesh, who dwelt among us. He is the tabernacled one who becomes like us, living as true God and true man in the flesh. And as the book of Hebrews also tells us, he was the exact representation, image, the very essence and nature of God himself, embodied in this one named Jesus. Jesus is our faithful high priest. He's the one who offered himself up as a holy sacrifice of the Lamb of God, slain on God's altar to redeem the world one time. One time he offered that sacrifice, not annually like the other high priests. He offered up his perfect life, and the Holy of Holies accepted it one time, once for all, to put away sin. This Christ offered up himself. This Jesus who lived a perfect life in our place, and then as our substitute went to the cross and offered his life on the altar of God, Calvary's cross. Here God placed your sins and my sins, the world's sins, in fact, upon the shoulders and body of Christ. Jesus, our perfect, spotless Lamb of God, became a Savior stained by the sins of the world. From the cross, Jesus prayed, Father, forgive them. Forgive the crowd, the soldiers, those who condemned and those who crucified him. He prayed, Father, forgive us. From the cross, Jesus forgave the one thief who told him, today you will be with me in paradise. From the cross, Jesus said, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. And from the cross, Jesus said, it is finished, ta telestai, which means paid in full. It's appointed for a man once to die, and then comes the judgment. Jesus did die, and he died for our sins, and he was judged. He was condemned, he was cursed, he suffered the fiery wrath of Almighty God, separated from his heavenly Father. But God raised him from death to life. Jesus entered the heavenly place, the Holy of Holies. God accepted Jesus' sacrifice by raising him from death to life, assuring us, yes, even guaranteeing us, that God accepted Christ's sacrifice. He had indeed redeemed the world, you and me. And like the thief, we will be with Jesus in paradise one day. Can you imagine the Heavenly Father and that redemption? When the Son was restored to his Father. And imagine, Jesus, who was holy, had taken upon himself the entire world's sins. God had declared him unholy and judged him, condemned him. But here and now, as Jesus stood in the presence of God in the Holy of Holies, where we know that God would not, cannot, and will not accept or tolerate sin in his presence, he accepted and welcomed his Son into the presence of the Holy of Holies. Here we see God's own Son, our Savior, who was that one who would sin-stained Savior, who had paid the sins of the whole world, standing in the presence of holy God, who had said, "It's finished." The Father did not reject him. The Father couldn't sniff or smell a spot of stain or of sin. Not even a whiff of sin remained. Not a spot in him, not a stain on him that reminded the Father that this was the poor and miserable sinner. No, he welcomed his son. Because he welcomed him, we too are redeemed. We too are forgiven. God is guaranteed. The Father and his son have been restored to a oneness, and we too have been restored because of Christ in his presence with his Father. It seems sometimes as though we really fight for this life when God has another life in store for us. He has one waiting, another one he wants to give us. I had a pastor friend that President Walton and I visited, and in visiting him, he was dying of brain cancer. And we both knew that it would probably be one of the last times we'd ever see him alive. He said, "Don't feel sorry for me." He said, "God's not going to cheat me from one breath of my life that he has ordained for me all the days of my life." And so when we think and we hear all these wonderful promises that you've just heard about, that Jesus has died and your sins are gone, he's paid the price, and the promise for you and me is that we'll be with him in paradise, this life, which I cherish, he's not going to cheat me of one breath of it that he's ordained for me. Not one. And I hope that helps us as we cling to this life and understand that there's a better life yet to come. The message doesn't end here, because the writer of the Hebrews says Jesus will appear a second time, not to deal with sins, but to save those who are eagerly waiting for him. Jesus is coming again to take us to where he is, to live with him in paradise. As he told his disciples, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through me." And he says, "If I leave, I will come again so that you might be with me." Isn't that a beautiful promise? So that we can be with him. I was told of a missionary that went to a tribe, and as he was there, he had told the people about Jesus, and they'd embraced this faith in Jesus Christ, is so much so that he said, "He will come again for you. And as you have just been told that he ascended into heaven, he will come again on the clouds, returning to earth, to receive us unto himself so that we can be with him in paradise." The tribe was told once again to watch for the Lord. Missionary, as he flew away with his team, came back about 3 weeks later, and as he came upon that grassy runway, he could see people standing and looking up to the skies. And when he got to the ground, he said, "What are you looking for?" And they said, "Well, you told us to watch that Jesus would be coming." And that they were eagerly watching, waiting for the Lord to come. Now, I know that you and I are eager for that to happen. And I do know that we may not stand on the runway, but I do know that we pray each and every morning that the Lord will bless this day, and that we have a faith that rests and trusts in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And so as you eagerly await the coming of the Lord, be it in this life, in this way, or be it in the life yet to come, because he's going to take you from here to there, to God be the glory. I have no doubt that you too are eager to see him. Well, what should our response be? I turn now to the lesson of the gospel. What should we do? We see a widow who comes, and she puts in what she has, all of what she has, in fact. And if you recall, a widow is one who had no one to take care of her. A widow in the Bible, in the New Testament, was one who could not own property, one who could not be in commerce or business, had very few opportunities to really support herself. It was all dependent upon her other relatives to take care of her. This widow brought all that she had to give it to the Lord, because she realized all of it comes from him, and that each and every day of her existence was dependent upon God's grace and mercy. And out of thankfulness, she brought in what she had, 2 copper coins. And so I look to you, my friends, and as we eagerly await the coming of the Lord, I just want to say thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for how you support your church and this ministry. Thank you for how you see your time, your talents, and your treasure, and want to say, Lord, thank you for all you do. And I do thank you for all you do to serve him. In Jesus' holy name, may the peace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you and bless you all the days of your life as we eagerly await his coming. Amen. Please stand. Please join me in the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you. Lord and Savior Jesus, before your throne we come. We thank you that you've made it possible for us to enter behind the veil. To enter behind the veil into the Holy of Holies, do we see, can we stand in the presence of Holy God? All because your blood was shed for us, to forgive us, to cleanse us, to declare us to be holy and righteous, even in your sight. Lord, in your mercy. Lord, to you we give thanks that you are to be worshiped and praised. We bring that which you have blessed us with to bless the ministry of this congregation. And like the woman who brought her treasury gift and placed it in the offering, we now have placed ours. May you accept it and may you see it as that which we give you so much thanks for, all that you have done in our lives. Lord, in your mercy. Lord, may you be with our comfort dog team, with Eric and Wendy in peace, as they serve people under the devastation of following the tropical storm Hurricane Michael. We ask you, O Lord, that you would help them to bring comfort, and that the people in that place would be comforted by the good news that you are still present with them. Lord, we thank you for our veterans of all branches of the service, and we ask your blessing to be upon all those veterans who have served in our congregation. May you be with them and strengthen them, and we give you thanks for them. Be with Julia's daughter, who's close to delivering a baby girl, and for that we thank you. We ask that you be with Stephanie, Noah, and Mackenzie with childhood sickness. Be with Peggy, David, Larry, and Glenn. Lord, may you bring healing to them as well. And may you bring your help and your will to be done in their presence. And may you hear the prayers of your people that are being said on their behalf, and bring help, comfort, strength, and healing. Lord, in your mercy. And now, O Lord, may you hear the prayers that have been requested by your people.
Dear Lord, the congregation brings before you these prayers of supplication and thanksgiving. For Edward, who is undergoing cancer treatments, we ask your blessing on him and his physicians who are treating him for positive results from his treatment. For Claude, we give thanks and blessings for his results from his cancer treatment. We ask your continued blessing upon him, dear Father, and through his recovery period. For Emma, dear Lord, who's suffering from intestinal problems, we ask for your healing and for prayers for the Neal family. Be with them, watch over them, and grant them your peace. For Mr. Glenn Schumacher, strength and healing and acceptance of where you have him in life, as he will be entering a rehab facility soon. Bless him, strengthen him, be with him and with his family. Lord, we ask your blessings on those of your children who are affected by the fires in California. Protect them, comfort them, and be with those dedicated firefighters who are battling those fires. Bring them comfort, Lord, in their time of suffering. Dear Father, we give you thanks for the United States Marine Corps and celebrate their 242nd anniversary, and for the 243rd of our United States Marines who have protected us and done their duty in the will of the nation. We ask your blessing upon those now serving and upon all those who have served, along with your servants who now serve in the Army, Air Force, Navy, Coast Guard, and the Corps, who are protecting us and our nation, ready on the watch on the front lines of freedom. Again, Lord, we ask your blessing on Peace and the Comfort Dog Ministry as they travel to the Panhandle to be with those suffering from the effects of the storm. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer. Please join me. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks unto you, Lord Almighty Heavenly Father, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who out of love for his fallen creation humbled himself by taking on the form of a servant, becoming obedient unto death, even death upon a cross. Risen from the dead, he has freed us from eternal death and has given us everlasting life. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and singing. And Savior Jesus Christ, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had broken it, he gave thanks, and he gave it unto his disciples, and he said, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given unto death for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Likewise, in the same manner, he took the cup, and when he had supped, he gave thanks, and he gave it unto his disciples, saying, "Take and drink ye all of it, for this cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is given and is shed for you for the remission of all your sins. As often as you drink it, do this in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always. This cup which we bless, is it not a participation in the blood of Christ? This bread which we break, is it not a participation in the body of Christ? O taste and see that the Lord is good. Come, for all is now ready. now. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. O God, the Father, the fountain and source of all goodness, who in loving kindness sent your only Son, begotten Son, into the flesh, we thank you that for his sake you have given us pardon and peace in this sacrament. And we ask you not to forsake your children, but always to rule our hearts and minds by your Holy Spirit, that we may be enabled constantly to serve you through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. The Lord be with you. Bless we the Lord. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and bring you his peace. You may be seated.
Good morning. The announcements today are several, so I'll ask your patience. The tree is up for Trinity Shares Christmas in the narthex. Your loving and generous hearts took every ornament off the tree last weekend. Thank you. We have several additions for this week as well, so if you missed taking an angel last week, you may pick up one on your way out of the sanctuary today. We will be providing gifts and food to children who have an incarcerated parent so that the parent may be part of his or her child's Christmas. The children's names are provided to us by the Angel Tree Prison Ministries. Please take one or more of the ornaments and return the items no later than Sunday, November 25th. As chairman of the Campus Development Task Force, I am excited and pleased to announce to you that the pastoral team and finance offices are ready to move back onto the main campus from the ministry center. So this Saturday, the 17th of November, we're going to do our best to get all the furniture out of those offices and back to the main campus. So if you are able, willing, and ready, and would like to donate some time to that endeavor, and especially so if you have a pickup truck, such as myself, we would enlist your opportunities of time and talents to come assist us in that process. There are details in the weekly. Next Sunday, the 18th, is our traditional Thanksgiving dinner. That will be at 12:15. Trinity's food service manager, Rich Poole, will prepare his succulent turkey and dressing, and the remainder of us, all of us, will bring side dishes and desserts. Let's fill the gym. It will be a great time of fellowship, meeting new people and connecting with friends who attend other worship services which you may not have seen for a while. So bring your family and friends and an attitude of gratitude. The weekly will also carry details for potluck assignments in that dinner. Get ready. Our next Trinity Family Community Outreach event is coming up in less than 3 weeks on Friday, November 30th at Lake Eola during the city's tree lighting. Volunteer signups are now open now. The link is in your Trinity Weekly. We also need to borrow some tents and tables. We'll be sharing our gift from Trinity to our neighbors in downtown Orlando, a message that Christmas is still all about Jesus, and some free and fun activities and snacks. This event is all about creating opportunities to have a conversation in which we can share the true Christmas story and tell other people about Trinity and our ministries here. Trinity Lutheran School students will be singing. Trinity volunteers will be giving out cocoa, coffee, and treats, hosting an ornament, making activity, and a nativity photo booth, meeting and greeting people, and sharing information about our church and school ministries here at Trinity. We'd like to double the number of people signed up to serve this year. Lastly, and thank you for your patience, my voice is about to go away. How would you like to share a message that matters and create opportunities to talk about your faith and your church? Trinity's Christmas t-shirts sharing the message event comments were made about all the people in red shirts and walking around, and many people stopped to ask, who are all these people in the red shirts? Those opportunities can come up any day of the week at any time, and it's our chance to talk about Jesus and tell people about Trinity. Buy a t-shirt and wear it around, see what happens. Send Chanda an email and let her know what conversations resulted from your comments about your shirt. We'll compile them and share them. Deadline to order a shirt Monday in order to have it here by November 29th. So she didn't give a date on which Monday, so I would suggest tomorrow. Details are in the weekly. That concludes the announcements. Thank you for your attention and patience. Let's rise for the closing.
Go in peace and serve the Lord in joy.